Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Tony Villante, Chief Human Resource Officer at the U.S. Postal Service. Also joining us in our conversation is Bill Takis, IBM's U.S. Postal Service industry leader. Tony, recognizing the importance of identifying talent and improving employee skills, could you outline the key U.S. Postal Service recruitment efforts for today? To what extent do such programs as the Management Intern and the Professional Specialist Trainee programs assist you in your recruiting efforts? And could you tell us a little bit about the Postal Service's implementation of an e-recruitment application?
Sure. Let me start with our recruitment efforts. Recently, what we've done in our employee resource management areas, we've created a group dedicated to just recruitment. So we're looking at preparing ourselves for the future. And when I say the future, I mean the near future, because talent is going to become a commodity that's harder to come by in the future. You know, we've dedicated a number of people within a department now that we've never had before. And we're going to put a really strong presence out in the private sector recruiting people with the skills that we need. And we're also going to retool how we recruit all our employees. We understand what the future of recruitment and talent is. We understand that, you know, some of the recruitment agencies will tell you about the talent war of the future. We look at it as the talent opportunity in the future. And there's a lot of things that we haven't done in the past that we are now going to do. And we feel very comfortable that we're going to be at the right place to be able to get the right people to help the Postal Service be successful. So that was one of the things that we've done recently. The programs such as Management Intern or Professional Specialist Trainee programs are very good programs that we have within the Postal Service where we could reach out to people who meet certain criteria, put them in a learning situation for 2 years where they can develop into either mid-level managers or technical staff jobs. It's a way to build your bench for the future in areas that you feel do not have enough people in place. So you look at what the future and the demographics say over the next 5 or 6 years, the baby booming generation is going to be leaving the workforce. And you're going to have to be ready for that because you're going to have a lot of people leaving critical positions and skilled positions. You've got to get people ready. This is one of our strategies along with our recruitment and along with our internal development processes that let us, you know, build our bench and plan for the future.
Now, along the same lines, workforce planning is critical to future success and will contribute to the greater flexibility and efficiency at the Postal Service. Could you outline your workforce planning efforts? How are you reducing, say, redundancies and overlaps of responsibility to better align with your business goals?
Yeah, workforce planning is very critical to the Postal Service. I have a department that works directly for me that works intimately with human resources and operation in our overall workforce planning. And you know, we've started within the last year and a half. We're taking that planning process through our areas, our regions, and we're taking it down to the districts and down to the post offices and operational units. But we're also – we have a very elaborate online system. We have a lot of information, a lot of web technology, which allows not only people to do immediate planning, but it also allows them to plan for the future. There's a lot of ability to take the business assumptions today, put them in the planning model, and see what your – staffing needs are going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, farther out, we're comfortable with all the impacts. It allows us to take our capital investments that impact our workforce and plan for the future and how that investment is going to impact our employees, and it gives us plenty of lead time to do various things to lessen that impact and allow us to be successful in the implementation of whatever that investment is. So it definitely has helped in our efficiency and our productivity. We have a number of opportunities to become more flexible with our labor contracts, spending a lot of time and effort to educate people on what they should and shouldn't be doing and how to maximize that flexibility to improve our postal operations. So it's an ongoing process. It's at every level of the organization. We're educating and we're supplying not only data, but we're supplying data and tools to better influence outcomes that we need.
Certainly the Postal Service's ability to address those future challenges hinges on the establishment of a very strong leadership continuum. Could you talk to us a little bit more about your efforts in that area, in particular the corporate succession planning, the leadership development process that you all use, and executive development continuum? And how do these efforts intersect, and how do they work together with each other?
This is very critical to the future of the Postal Service. And when we created the new Diversity and Development Department, that was the first thing that we focused on, is how do we take all these developmental processes and opportunities and align them into one structure so an employee can see how he moves throughout his career, what are his opportunities. We can see what we need to make sure gets put in place so that employee is developed. So you have corporate succession planning, which is a process we go through every 2 years, and we look at all the executives and all the officers in the organization, and we do planning on developing people for those replacements. EAS leadership development is the next level down, mid-level management. We're starting to do the similar to what we do with executives with the next level in the organization of managers. What I like to say is we recognize that we have talented people. We have people that are very good performers. They're top performers. You know, we'll compare our employees with anybody's. But our task, management's job, is to reach down into the organization much earlier in a person's career, identify their strengths, their weaknesses, their competencies, and point them in the direction that they'll be most successful for themselves and for the organization. And that's what we're starting to do with our EAS leadership. The executive development continuum is basically our outline, how a manager moves into the executive ranks and moves through the organizations. If you could picture a pyramid, the bottom of the pyramid would be all new executives, and then we have developmental steps up the pyramid. It's based on performance, and it's based on skill need. You know, it starts with the entire group, and based on performance, it gets a little bit more narrow as the responsibility and accountability for the higher-level jobs become. So you move up this pyramid, but it's laid out for everyone. It starts right at the beginning of your executive career, and it walks you through the rest of your executive career. And these are all your opportunities. These are the training that we're going to offer, that we're going to insist that our employees have to be ready to take on challenges in the future. But it's also what I call your roadmap for success. You know, you can do these things, and you could, coupled with your performance, which is key, succession planning and all these developmental programs, that's going to move you through the organization to positions of greater responsibility and authority. So we're lining it all up. We want one vision for our employees so they can become, whether it's an executive or a manager, they understand the path through the organization, throughout their career, what they need to do to get promoted, and you know, with a strong emphasis on performance.
Well, certainly having an engaged workforce, which you're describing right there, is critical to the overall continued organizational success of the Postal Service. And I know that you continue to track workplace concerns and by asking career employees to complete the Voice of Employee survey. Could you talk to us a little bit more about that Voice of Employee survey? And in particular, could you highlight some of the recent results and how you validate those results and how they're used?
Our Voice of the Employee survey, or what we call our VOE survey, that's one of our corporate measures in our performance system. And we measure our units on that survey. And basically, the survey looks at a number of workplace criteria situations, and it asks our employees how they would measure their workplace. So whether it's headquarters or a region or an area or a post office or a district, you know, we have this process that reaches out to our employees. They can give us their feedback on how they feel about all these various workplace-related issues. The survey has a very good response rate, which is in the 60s, which I think is on the high end of most surveys. And then we have an index, which is your actual score rated on a, you know, very good type of rating, objective rating. So, and that's a little bit higher, that part of our survey. So we had a lot of good results. We've had the survey in place for quite a while. What we're going to be doing is looking at the survey to see what changes do we need to put in the future. We want to look at best practices from other organizations, but we've come a long way on the survey. It tells us questions about the workplace, about how employees are treated, about the information employees get. It talks about customers' value. It talks about the things that we think are critical to the organization, and it's another tool to allow employees to give us feedback.
And you feed this information back to the employees, the results?
And the results are published quarterly. Yes, we feed it back to the entire organization.
I know that one of the greatest investments that the Postal Service can make for its employees is maintaining a safe work environment. I know that the Postal Service takes that very, very seriously. Could you talk to us a little bit about your efforts to make the Postal Service a safer place to work, and in particular, to what extent do the things that you talked about before, like the ergonomic risk reduction process and the voluntary protection program, enable you to be successful in this area?
Well, I think the most important thing I could say about our safety process or our evolution in the safety area, I mean, I think everyone in the Postal Service recognizes it's not an us against them. It's not management against employees. It's both groups working to make it a safe place. Just simply said, our employees come to work healthy. We want them to go home healthy. Okay, they have families. They have outside interests. We don't want to see that impacted or impaired by a workplace injury. So I think, as I talked earlier about employee engagement, we thought it was very important for our safety strategy, but for our overall employee strategy to engage our employees in this area. So the ergonomic risk reduction process and the voluntary protection program allowed us to create employee engagement in the workplace related to safety and health. So these are very, very good programs, OSHA-sponsored programs. We have dedicated resources working on this. We measure it. We have goals based on a voluntary protection program. We have more sites than anyone else in the country in the voluntary protection program. In this past year, we've passed all the other businesses that are in the program. So we have the most sites. We've done just an outstanding job. But it's not a management job or a safety or a human resources job. It's the Postal Service. It's our employees, our unions, working with OSHA to make the Postal Service a better and safe place to work.
Tony, this theme of engaging employees has clearly reduced some very, very positive results for the Postal Service. Could you outline your efforts in this regards to reduce the number of workplace disputes?
You know, I think it's important to realize if you're going to engage your employees, you're not going to engage an employee who has a dispute. I mean, you need to deal with the atmosphere and the environment on the workplace, and part of that is employee disputes. And what do employees want? They want their dispute handled, they want it timely, and they want an answer. And that's where our focus has been. And you could go to a number of areas within the Postal Service, whether it's our grievance process, our EEO process, or any of our appeals process. And what we've done in the last 4 or 5 years is really focused, work jointly with, you know, our unions on the grievance part. We've significantly reduced workplace disputes, probably from a high of over 100,000 pending grievances down to less than 30,000 grievances. And that's a joint effort by both management and labor to make that happen, to address those disputes and to keep things moving along and address an employee's concern. You know, let me reiterate, the worst thing you can have is an employee on the workroom floor who doesn't get, you know, their particular dispute addressed. I think the other area is we've stepped into the mediation forum. We have a redress program, which is resolve employment disputes and reach equitable solutions swiftly is the word to that acronym. But basically, it's a mediation program that we put in place a number of years ago that is another avenue to resolve disputes. We also have mediation processes in our internal dispute resolution processes. So we focused on not fighting the employee but resolving the dispute. We want to resolve it as early as possible. Once again, we want to keep the focus on the customer and business results, and we don't want to create distractions by having all these disputes in our system and not being addressed. So that's very important. If you want to get your employees engaged, it's going to cost you the time and effort to resolve their disputes and improve the environment.
That's fantastic advice. Earlier, we talked a little bit about the baby boomer generation. But nowadays, younger employees are having different attitudes, behaviors, and expectations for their careers and the workplace. Overall, they tend to be more flexible and likely to move, and therefore are expected to change employers and jobs several times during their career. They're also looking for more flexibility from employers and greater support in the workplace. Could you elaborate on the Postal Service's efforts to meet the challenges of this younger generation and a changing workforce?
You know, one thing we recognize, and we have a lot of discussion on this, is the workforce of the future is going to be different. There isn't an expectation to have one employer for a 30 or 35-year career. There isn't the same expectation on benefits and retirement. There's a different expectation on mobility for an individual. You know, we're learning that we can't expect what we got in the past to get that in the future. So you're going to have to adjust your expectations. And then hopefully you could take this as an opportunity to create some ways to retain and recruit people. And in the Postal Service, I mean, there's a lot of different jobs. You know, you have finance, you have IT, you have human resources, you have operations, you have government relations, you have the law department. I mean, you have a very broad scope of jobs. People want change. They want differences. And part of our retention and recruitment philosophy is that you come into the Postal Service, you're not wed to that position. You come into the Postal Service. You have all these opportunities. There's training programs. There's opportunities to move in different functions and take on different roles within the organization. So I think that's a strength that we can elaborate on in the future. And then the second part of that is the mobility. Anywhere they want to go in the United States, we're there. You know, so we could meet a lot of needs of people if they want to move. And, you know, we're more than happy to do that. That's very healthy in our organization for people to move from different parts of the country and work in different operations. So we recognize the difference. We know we have to retool our strategies to deal with it. But if you take the strengths and what we offer as an organization and build that into part of your retention and recruitment process, I think we're going to have answers that people didn't expect. And before you know it, they may stick around for 30 years, like I did.
What does the future hold for the U.S. Postal Service? We will ask Tony Villante, Chief Human Resource Officer and Executive Vice President at the U.S. Postal Service, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.